precious one, you're welcome to yet another life-changing sermon from Reverend Sidney Olumensa. Reverend Sidney Olumensa is a man of God who operates in the healing, prophetic, and teaching ministries. Today, the man of God takes us through a sermon titled, The Authority of the Word of God. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Look at somebody, tell the person that God bless you for coming to church. It's very important, so I want you to mean it. Just mean it. Tell the person, God bless you for coming to church. Praise the Lord. Amen. This week we start our fasting and prayers. Hallelujah. I believe it's a good place to clap your hands. Praise the Lord. I know some of you have already started fasting. May the Lord continue to give you grace. Amen. Fasting, or to fast, is not about food. Praise the Lord. It's about foundations. And City of His Presence, this year we are dealing with foundations. And we are aligning with the house. And when I mean the house, I mean the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And in City of His Presence, as we are fasting, we are strengthening our walls and preparing for everything that God wants to build in 2026. Praise the Lord. And before I speak about my topic today, I want to give you some, or enlighten you a bit about fasting. Praise the Lord. Some of you, maybe it's the first time you are hearing the word fast or fasting. In the spirit realm, not all fasting are the same. Just like when you are exercising, there is light exercise, there is moderate exercise, and there is heavy exercise. And some of you, when you go to the gym for the first time, they will tell you to do light exercise. You will see the dumbbells and, you know, the machines there, or the things that, you know, the gym machines, and you have to use it. But the gym instructor will tell you, let's do, maybe it's your first day and you see your compatriot, they are doing other things and you are wondering like why. But the gym instructor says, take your time, you know, let's do a bit light exercise today. And then we continue. But sometimes even the light exercise is not easy. Praise the Lord. So in the physical, like gym, we have, you know, exercising that is light. Some is moderate and some is heavy. And the heavy ones, you see people carry really heavy, heavy metals, you know, they put on their back. And, you know, I remember some years ago, I entered the gym. And the first day I got there, I saw something they've written there. And I was really scared. They said, no pain, no gain. I was like, wow, it means that we are going to go through pain. You know, and those that have been to the gym, you know, you realize that the first day, or maybe if you do two times in a week, and then you feel some pains in your body. And sometimes some of the gym instructors will prescribe some Brufen, 500 mg, you know, paracetamol and all that, just to make sure that the pain will go down. Praise the Lord. So we have light, moderate, and heavy. And fasting has levels like that. Somebody say level. And each level deals with your spirit man and resistance. One of the fast is the 24-hour fast. And the 24-hour fast usually, so 24-hour fast like a day. Praise the Lord. And the 24-hour fast usually, it gives you a quick discipline. So a quick discipline to crucify the immediate desires of the flesh. So when you are going through some desires of the flesh, the 24-hour fast, it aids you. Are you understanding me? So the primary battle is in your stomach and your mind when you are going to the 24-hour fast, because you've been eating. So that day when you decide to abstain from food, somebody say, my stomach begin to talk. You know how your stomach talks? It begins to crrr, you know, like that. Your stomach begins to talk. And When you are on a 24-hour fast, it tells God your intent for keeping your flesh under subjection. Let's read Psalm 35 verse 13 quickly, please. I have a lot to teach today, but I pray that God gives me grace. And let's read together. Let's read in concert. Yet. When my prayers return to me unanswered. You know, subsequently we'll teach about, some of you don't see the Old Testament as part of the Bible. Praise the Lord. All you see is about New Testament. Praise the Lord. But there are some promises in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you want it. Praise the Lord. But there are some things in the Old Testament, you don't want it. You don't like it. But Jesus said, I came to fulfill. Are you understanding me? He didn't come to abolish. He came to fulfill. He came to make it clearer to us. Hallelujah. So the Hebrew word for humble here is una or ana. It means to afflict and bring down. Hallelujah. It means to what? Afflict and bring down. So when you are fasting force your soul to bow down to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27. Please give it to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27. The Apostle Paul taught the importance of bringing physical desires under control. Somebody say physical desires. Let's read together. He says what? I beat my body and make it my... Hallelujah. He referred to his lifestyle when he described himself as being in fasting often. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, go to 11:27. 11:27. 11:27. Let's read in concert. And I've often gone without food. I have been cold and what? And naked. Hallelujah. You know, when Paul is saying that, you know, the things I want to do. You see, sometimes you might wonder certain things that you do not want to do, but you do it. Praise the Lord. But you see, fasting is a good place to bring a quick turnaround or a quick tuning in your life. That is the one-day fast. So when you're going to a one-day fast, it's for a quick tuning and also repentance and seeking clarity. You can find out in Judges chapter 20 verse 26 that the Bible says that Israel fasted that day after losing battles and they wept and asked God for direction. So the 24-hour fast, it helps reset your life. You can do, maybe sometime you can do sunrise and sunset or 24 hours if your health allows it. I'm saying if your health what? Allow men koye fasting bien koye we kase reverend see we. If your health what allows it, praise the Lord. And the 24-hour fast, it helps turn down the volume of your flesh so that you can hear God whisper again. Praise the Lord. Some of you will never fast until we declare a corporate fast. But you see, 24-hour fast is powerful for regular maintenance. And that is why some people, not spiritualize it, but some people have just decided that I'll fast on the day, on my day, on that day I was born. Maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and all that. But there should be a purpose. Don't do it because others are doing it. Confu say me fasting Wednesday, so you are fasting Wednesday. You'll be dieting. Say you'll be dieting. You are dieting. Hallelujah. You are not fasting. Don't follow wrongly. Do it with purpose. Praise the Lord. And then we have one is what? The 24-hour fast. And we have the 3 days fast quickly. 3 days fast. The 3 days fast goes deeper. And this is a level of emergency. Some call it the Esther fast. Praise the Lord. Esther chapter 4. We understand that they fasted night and day. And this was the level of emergency that came to Esther, you know, because they were in crisis. So when you are going through some emergency that require that you find yourself in crisis and threatens your very existence and destiny, you usually go through a 3-day fast. Praise the Lord. Of course, I'm saying this thing, but you have to be guided by the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this time, usually the third day, you see that your body has burned, you know, through some immediate sugar reserve. Do you know you have sugar reserves in you? Praise the Lord. You have sugar. Some people say, you know, when we're doing long fasting, you know, sometimes you are not eating, but you are on a long fast. You are not eating, but you are pooing. Hallelujah. Amen. You are using the washroom and all that. And you wonder where the food is coming from, especially when you are on a dry fasting. Your body reserves. Are you understanding me? A reserve in case of crisis. Praise the Lord. And that is why you find some people that might be in some place for maybe some day, two, and no food, and still they keep going because their body what reserves. Are you understanding me? So we call this the 3-day fast, the Esther fast. Praise the Lord. And sometimes mostly at the end of the third day, your mind begins to detach from the world. If you do it well, your mind begins to what? Detach what? From what? The world. And in the spirit, it breaks the spirit of heaviness and confusion. It breaks the spirit of heaviness and confusion. And it's something that breaks certain attacks, you know, upon your life, upon your destiny. And sometimes when you are in the crossroads of your life, when, you know, you want to overturn the verdict of the enemy, you go to the 3-day fast. Are you understanding me? You are looking at me like you are seeing me for the first time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know that the number 3 represents resurrection. Hallelujah. So on the third day, things that were dead in your life, they begin to what? Come back to what? To life. Praise the Lord. And it can break that stubborn pattern. 3-day fast, it can break that stubborn patterns. And because of the intensity, you need to check your health first. Because of what? The intensity, you need to check your health first. This our fasting for 7 days. Please drink water. I'm not saying don't go and drink water. Drink water. Hallelujah. And break well. I'll just give you some few guidelines before I teach. Amen. Somebody say 3-day fast. So it can, usually 3-day fast, it can be on a full one, or you know, you can go with water, but you can modify it how you want it to be. And I'm saying the posture of your heart is very important. Are you with me? We have the 7-day fast. 7-day. Look at somebody, say, it's not how empty your plate is, but how ready your heart is. You know, there are some people that when we are fasting, they go around and say, you don't know I'm fasting. You don't know. Don't you know I'm fasting? Look at my face. I'm fasting. I'm in the spirit. Don't come and disturb me. I'm fasting. There's no need to be saying all those things. Hallelujah. Amen. It's between you and your Lord. Now, 7 days fast, and that's what we are doing. Amen. And that's what we do. We've broken our fast for each quarter, 7 days till the end of the year. Praise the Lord. 21 days fasting. Hallelujah. Amen. Some are doing 40 days fast. I'm sure 40 days, everybody will run away. So 7 is the number of perfection and completion in the Bible. So when you fast for 7 days, you are entering a cycle of total spiritual reset. Praise the Lord. A cycle of total spiritual what? Reset. And this one is called the Jericho fast, because you realize that the Israelites, they marched around Jericho for 7 days, and after that the walls, what, they came down. So a 7 days fast, they target foundational problems, not just crisis, but chronic issues that has been lingering in your life for a very long time. Hallelujah. So by day 7, your physical hunger feeds and your spiritual hunger takes over, if you do it well. Hallelujah. And you start to hear God with high definition, precision, and clarity. Amen. And in going through 7 days fast, it deals with cycles in your life, and it brings a sense of completion to certain battles you are going through. And during this fast, you may hit walls and moments where you feel like, you know, you feel like you want to quit. You feel like you cannot go on and all that. That is your flesh. Somebody say your flesh. Your flesh is protesting loudly for the old cravings in your life. Amen. But as you want to lean towards God, your flesh is telling you, no, you will die. Your flesh is telling you, no, you can't do it. Am I communicating here? But we need to move beyond food and distractions. Because when we do that, it breaks something inside of our life. Am I communicating here? That is something, you know, something that if you do and you do it well, you know, this, if you go on this fast and you do it well, the Lord takes away the dependence on comfort. Am I communicating? Yeah. And once that breaks, your spirit stand taller in everything. Your spirit stand taller in everything. And the next one is 21 days fast. And that is what our mother church is embarking on as we speak now. 21 days fast. And this is often called the Daniel fast. You know, and usually some 21 days fast, usually people go on by partial food. Hallelujah. They don't eat certain things, more vegetables, you know, and all those things. And usually, in 21 days fast, you are breaking some strong addictions and family cycles. And it gives the angels fuel to wrestle, to bring down answers. Hallelujah. It takes 21 days to break a habit and form a new one. Am I communicating here? So, spiritually, if you are going on a 21 days fast, you are breaking some demonic cycles and establishing divine order in your life. And this is a very complex, you know, you need to understand what you are doing. And I said, don't hear that people are doing it because you are doing it. You need to get on. You see, 2020, so we want to get understanding in whatever we are doing. Are you understanding me? Come for believer service. Hallelujah. Ask questions and let's answer them by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. The last one is the 40-day fast. Somebody say 40-day fast. How many of you are willing to fast 40 days? Hallelujah. 40-day fast is the fast of dominion and transfiguration. And you see the likes of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus all undertook this kind of fast. And the number 40 represents a generation and a period of testing that leads to a new era. So you do not enter into 40 days fast lightly. No, it's a sovereign call. It's what? A sovereign. I'm saying you don't hear men of God are doing too. I'm doing. No, it's a sovereign call. Because when you go through a 40 days fast, it changes your DNA. It shifts the atmosphere of your very being. Are you understanding me? And look at Moses and look at Jesus. And look at what God did in their life. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you are going through a 40 days fast, it's a fasting that, you know, God put you at that pedestal for you to shift nations. And then you bet movement as well. And you walk in high level miracle power. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying if you don't fast 40 days, God cannot perform miracles through you. Praise the Lord. There are some times where the desire and the stretching of the people towards the man of God or towards the individual causes God to use the man of God to bless the people. You see, that's why some people are being fooled that sometimes when, you know, you are not living in purity and the Lord is using you and you say, oh, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God. No. God might be using you at that particular moment because of the burden of the people. Are you understanding me? The Lord told Moses, stretch. He hit the rock. Water still came, but God was not pleased about it. Are you following? Are you following? Okay. So when you are going through a 40 days fast also, you know, you leave. The devil doesn't just flee from you. He sees the light that you have put yourself in. And he lives for seasons and seasons and seasons. I'm not saying he will not come to tempt you or he will not come to distract you. But that kind of intensity you have reached, it puts you in a place where you understand indeed what God is actually doing in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when you are fasting because you are fasting in a place of sonship. Not to end the love of God. You are not fasting to end the love of God. Hallelujah. But you fast in place of what? Sonship. Are you understanding me? You partner with God. Say, I partner with God. So I partner with God on specific assignment. Now remember that fast without prayer is dieting. So if we are fasting this week and then you do not pray, you are just dieting. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. If you don't pray, you don't read your Bible, you are just dieting. So it's better you diet. Am I communicating here? Hallelujah. And Isaiah rebukes a fast like that. Fasting, you have to aim at something. Say, aim at something. So don't just be walking around, you know. You don't read your word, you know. You don't pray. And praying to God, especially in this our corporate world, some of you, you know, Lady Naomi is HR, right? Can you imagine? You've been moved from there. Okay. You know. Lady Gladys, you know, like your corporate position, you know, this thing is all the time, you know, and all that. But you need to find a place. So it doesn't mean you are praying the whole of the day, 1 hour, 2 hours, or how will your paymasters pay you? Are you understanding me? But when you wake up in the morning, you pray. Are you understanding me? Now, you are not going for lunch. Is it not true? So your 1 hour, you can use it to pray. You can use it to read your Bible. Lack of wisdom, my people perish. Are you understanding me? Praise the Lord. Your employers that don't want you to go for lunch, you have to ask them why they don't want you to go for lunch. Praise the Lord. And some of you this week, some cravings that will come, you'll be surprised. Are you understanding me? Starbite will be calling. Frankie's, somebody say cash. Frankie's will be calling. Hallelujah. Shawarma will be calling. Sometime you'll be there. You don't know where the smell is coming from. Nobody is cooking anything. Can I have a witness here? Oh, City of His Presence, are you here? I'm telling you. I've faced some before. That's why I'm telling you. You look left, right. Nobody is cooking. But the smell is very strong. It's calling you. Say, he's calling me. That is demonic. Hallelujah. It's demonic. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this week we are on a 7 days fast. It starts from Monday. We end on Sunday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Hallelujah. Amen. 6 a.m. to what? To 4 p.m. Monday and Tuesday we are praying online in the evening, 9 p.m. to 9:30. And then we are also on our midnight cry. Hallelujah. It will end on Tuesday, I think. Yes. So if we don't lead you to pray, praise the Lord, then it means your fasting will be empty, because some of you ideally you will not pray. So pray 9:30 to 9:30, and then we'll come back at 12. It's just for that 2 days, that because of midnight cry. Hallelujah. And then God willing, on Wednesday we'll be here in person. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday we are here in person in the evening, 6 p.m. to 6:30. Hallelujah. So when you break your fast, 4 p.m., you're on your way to church to come and pray. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But Monday and Tuesday, we are online, 9 p.m. to 9:30. Praise the Lord. If you are happy, clap your hands for Jesus. Have I explained it enough, or I should go on? Praise the Lord. Those that will not fast, maybe they don't agree with me. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17. I want to teach today. Praise the Lord. And I want to teach on authority of the word. Authority of the word. Authority of the word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. When I say let's read in concert, I mean let's read together. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? Okay. It says that what? All please, let's read it again. Praise the Lord. City of His Presence, This year, as I said last week, we are returning to the basics. And I need to make something very clear so that no one is confused in this house. Praise the Lord. When we said in the first sermon that Christ is the foundation, He's indeed the foundation. Because the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, it says that no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So Christ is the foundation of our salvation. Say, Christ is my foundation. Christ is our foundation. He's not only our foundation, but Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. The Bible says He's the chief what? Cornerstone. Christ is the rock on which the church is built. Are you understanding me? So you need to get this well before I move on. But today, I want to talk about the authority of the word. Somebody say the authority of the word. And that does not replace Christ as the foundation, because He Himself is the word. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. So let me explain the structure I am building to you quickly. Christ is the foundation of the house. The word is the blueprint of the house. And a plumb line is the tool that keeps the house straight. I will explain. Praise the Lord. I mean, I know some of you are getting confused already. Praise the Lord. If you are confused, wave your hand. Let me see. Amen. So let me break it down. You see, you cannot separate Christ from the word. You cannot separate His Christ or the Christ from the word. You can't separate Jesus Christ from the word, because He Himself, what, is the word. Hallelujah. Christ is the word that made what? Flesh. Are you with me? So the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 1 throughout to 14, it says, in the beginning was what? The word. And the word was with God. It says the word became what? Flesh. Are you with me? So when we return to the authority of the word, we are not leaving Christ. We are returning to how Christ governs the house. Are you with me? Now, I said that the plumb line is the tool that keeps the house straight. And let's look at something. I don't know, you've been in construction before, like, you know. How many of you know plumb line? How many of you know plumb line? Media, I pray, may God give you speed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Asian construction, long before, now iPhones even have measurement something. Hallelujah. How many iPhone keepers are here? Hallelujah. Nobody will attack you. Just wave your hand. iPhone, those that have iPhone, they have something they call measurement or something. I believe that is some technology. I mean, I don't know whether it's a laser technology or what, but when you put it here, you stretch it here, it gives you a measurement. But if you realize that if you don't stretch it well, it doesn't give you the measurement. You can do whatever it is, it will never give you the measurement. Praise the Lord. In the ancient times, there was nothing like laser levels and for measuring devices, builders use a tool they call the plumb line. Say the plumb line. So in simple word, it was some kind of heavy weight at the bottom, and usually it's made of a stone or a metal. So when the weight is released, the gravity would pull it perfectly straight, like how, you know, the measurement on your phone is like. Are you understanding me? So the builder will hold the string next to the wall, and whatever leaned away from that line was corrected what? Immediately. Are you with me? Good. So that's the plumb line. Hallelujah. So the plumb line did not build the house. It tested the house. Are you with me? It did not build the house, but what? It tested what? The house. It did not create the structure. It governed the structure. Are you understanding me? And any wall that refused the plumb line eventually what? Collapsed. Eventually it did what? It collapsed. Let's read Amos 7 verse 7 to 8. And that is why God says this in this scripture. Let's read in concert. Thus, with a plumb line in his what? His hand. Continue, verse 8. Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. So he's saying here that I am measuring what you have built against my standard. And you see, city of his presence, I want you to get something. The word of God is the plumb line. The word of God is what? Is measuring what you have built against his standard. Are you understanding me? Praise the Lord. So Christ is the foundation. The word is the standard. And obedience is alignment. I said Christ is the foundation. The word is the standard. And obedience is what? I don't want to get excited. I want to teach today. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we say we are returning to the authority of the word, we are saying that, Lord, straighten what we have allowed to become crooked in our lives. Everything we have allowed to become crooked, Lord, what? Straighten it. So this is what the sermon today that I'm preaching is about. Are you understanding me? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Let's read it again. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. It says all scripture is what? Some other versions say all scripture is God breathed. Look for that version for me. All scripture, let's read it. All what? Is God what? Breathed. And is what? Hallelujah. Some other versions say, and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in what? Righteousness. So you see, Paul is writing these words from a Roman prison. And he knows his execution is near. So, and he knows that false teachers are increasing. And persecution is rising. And in his final instruction, he's pointing out something very important to his son Timothy. Somebody say Timothy. And he's pointing to Timothy about the trends and system and strategy. And he points to him to the scriptures. Somebody say to the scriptures. Paul points Timothy toward the scriptures. Because when everything is shaking, the word remains unshakable. The word remains what? Unshakable. Now, what does God breathed really mean? When we say God breathed, what does it mean? God breathed. What does it mean? All scripture is God what? God breathed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, Paul says that scripture is God breathed. Hallelujah. He's not describing oxygen. Like when you say breathed on me. Hallelujah. Or some will say breathed or breathed on me. God breathed on me. He's not talking about oxygen. So it's like, God breathed on me. He's not talking about oxygen. Somebody say oxygen. He's not describing oxygen. He's describing origin. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And the Greek word is theophonotos. It means proceeding from the very life of God. Proceeding from what? The very what? Life of God. This is not ink on paper. This is God in communication. Now, scripture also interpret what? Scripture. Are you understanding me? I'm saying scripture also interpret what? Scripture. If you don't follow me, you get lost. So stay with me. Scripture also interpret what? Scripture. Let's look at Job chapter 32 verse 8. Job 32 verse 8. Quickly. Let's read. It says what? Let's read in concert. Did you read that? It says what? There is what? A spirit in man. The breath of the Almighty that gives him what? Understanding. So in the language of the Bible, breath equals what? Revelation. Breath equals illumination. Breath equals what? Understanding. So when God breathes, he is not moving air. He's releasing the truth. Are you understanding me? So I want us to now go to the lives of the disciples. Let's return to the disciples, the 12 disciples. Let's return to them. Let's return. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Please stay with me. Other than that, you get lost. Stay with me. Let's go back to the disciples for a moment. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read in concert. Yes, quickly. Next. Okay. Next verse. As the Spirit enabled them, or as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So the day of Pentecost had fully come. It had fully come. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit word gave them what? Utterance. Now, here is the intelligent question. How did Peter know what was happening? How did Peter know what was what happened? Nobody in scripture had ever spoken in tongues before until this day. Are you understanding me? So, this was the first time anything like that had occurred. Yet, Peter immediately stood up and he said, that this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. Look for that verse for me. This was what was spoken what by the prophet what Joel. So how could he interpret something he had never experienced before? Are you understanding me? Because Jesus had taught them. Are you understanding me? Jesus had what? He taught them how to read scripture. He says, but this is what, this is that which was spoken what? By the prophet word. How did Peter know about this? Are you understanding me? Because Jesus had already what taught them how to what read what scripture. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 verse 3 to 4 quickly. Acts chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. Malibra dabashka dabara dabaka. Acts chapter 1 verse. Let's read in concert. To whom? And speaking of the things pertaining what to the kingdom. Hallelujah. So he showed himself alive, being seen them for what? 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining what to the kingdom. If you go on, he says, and he commanded them to wait for the promise of what? Of the Father. So you could see that Jesus was what? Teaching them. That 40 days that he spent, he was teaching them. Are you understanding me? He was what? He was teaching them. He was training their understanding. He was training what? Via understanding. Now watch this. Let's go to Luke chapter 24 verse 45. 44 to 45. Hallelujah. We are doing so much. Those that, you know, you read your Bible well, you can follow. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you, I know you are lost by now. May God give you grace. Are you with me? If you are with me, say I'm with you. Let's go. Is it there? Let's read together. Yes. The prophet concerning what? Me. Are you understanding me? It says that these were written in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the psalm concerning what? Me. And he opened their what? Their understanding. So Jesus taught them that the entire Old Testament must be read through Christ. It must be read what? Through what? Christ. And that is why Genesis to Malachi is promise. It's about a promise. And Matthew to John is manifestation. And Acts and the epistles, it's about explanation. Hallelujah. Subsequently, I'll go deeper on that. And that is when the we read, and that is when the Spirit fell upon the disciples. And Peter did not panic. He did not panic because he interpreted the event by the word. He interpreted the event what? By what? The word. I'm saying we are going back to the authority of the word. Are you with me? So this is what we call scripturization. Somebody say scripturization. Say scripturization. Hallelujah. Learning to interpret life by scripture and scripture by Christ. Are you following? Now let's touch more on the bread. Let's touch more on the bread. Go to John 20:22. Let's read it in concert. John 20:22. Quickly, please. Let's read it in concert. He breathed on them. Receive what? The Holy Ghost. Now, if you read that physically, you miss the Bible language. He breathed on them. If you read that physically, you miss what? The Bible. It didn't on them. Are you understanding me? So if you read the Bible with physical, you read it physically, you might miss it. Somebody say you might miss it. So to breathe on someone in scripture is not about air. It's about imparting understanding. Are you with me? So breath equals what? Understanding. Let's go to Job chapter 32 verse 8. Please, when you come to church, write. Okay, write. Be like the Bereans. Go back home. Go and research. Build on it. Let the Lord speak to you. Job chapter 32 verse 8. Let's read it in concert quickly, please. Did you read that? Did you see that? Let's read it again. So when the Bible speaks about bread, it is speaking about revelation. It is speaking about illumination. Are you understanding me? It's speaking about understanding. Somebody say revelation, illumination, understanding. Because Job already told us that the bread of the Almighty gives us what? He gives him what? Understanding. Are you understanding me? Now travel with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to dwell a bit on bread and then I move on. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 9. Verse 9. Let's read verse 9. The dry bones. Let's read. Oh, come on. Hold on. Let's read it in concert. Also, that they may what? They may live. So he prophesied as commanded, and bread came unto them, and they lived. Are you understanding me? The bread came through what? The word. Somebody say the word. So when the word is spoken, bread entered them and they lived. Say the authority of the word. Say the authority of the word. So bread did not come from the sky. It came through what? Revelation. Are you understanding me? So when Paul says that all scripture is breathed, he's saying that the book is God teaching. He's saying that the book is God revealing. He's saying that the book is God prophesying. He's saying that the book is God communicating himself to humanity. God breathed. Are you understanding me? So every time you open your Bible and you are seeing God, every time you open your Bible and you are reading, God is breathing again. Hallelujah. Say authority of the word. Say I'm going back to the authority of the word. And that is why the word does not merely informs you. The word of God does not merely informs you. It transforms you. Are you on it? So if the word of God is not transforming you, it means there is a problem with your system. Are you understanding me? There is a problem. The word of God does not only instruct, it resurrect. Are you understanding me? It does not just speak, it creates life. You see, that is why we can stand on the word of God. I don't want to get carried. I want to teach. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why we can stand on the authority of the word of God and create things that are not there in our lives. Are you understanding me? Say the authority of the word. Say the authority of the word. And you see, city of his presence, the Lord is saying that let's return back to the authority of the word. Or let's return to the authority of the word. Because when we return to the authority of the word, we return to the breath of God. And I want you to get this well. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. Okay, now let's move on. You see, when the word of God lose authority, it is dangerous. Anytime the word of God in your life, it loses what its authority. It is suicidal. Somebody say it's suicidal. Say it is suicidal. You see, let's look at this. The first attack that came to humanity was not against the body. It was against what? The word. It was not against the body. It was against what? The word. Satan did not say, do what you want. He didn't say that. Are you understanding me? He didn't just say, do what you want. This word, did God really say that? Look at somebody and say, did God really say that? He didn't come and say, do what you want. What he was saying that, is that what God is saying? Are you understand? Did God actually what say that? So every spiritual collapse begins when the word becomes optional in your life. When the word of God become what? Optional in your life. So some of you don't have the word in your life. Oh, there is no authority of the word in your life. When spiritual, or let me put it, when scripture loses authority, compromise increases. It's true, right? Yeah. Compromise what? It increases. When scripture loses authority in your life, conviction fades. Are you understanding me? You see, when you are sinning and you are not being convicted, and one of these days we'll deal with that. When you sin and you are not convicted, you are entering into disbelief. And you know what disbelief does? That is another topic on its own. Are you understanding me? You see, when scripture loses authority in your life, then obedience, it weakens. Obedience what? It weakens. When scripture loses authority in your life, spiritual power declines. So the first temptation was not lust. No. The first temptation was not what? Lust. It was not pride. It was not money. It was a question. Did God really say this? Did God really say what he's saying? And every breakdown in life begins when the question, or when questions are entertained in your life. Did God really say this? Did God really say it? Did God really say it? It's demonic. Did God really say it? You are losing that authority of the word in what? You begin to start entertaining certain questions. And when the word loses authority, something else would have to take its place. Something takes the place of scripture. Something takes the place of what? Of the word. I'm getting excited. Let me slow down. Hallelujah. Say something takes place. Say something takes place. So anytime the word loses that authority, something definitely. Terry, are you here? I forgot it's Sunday. Hallelujah. I thought it's Wednesday. Praise the Lord. But let me blend it. Hallelujah. Anytime, look at somebody, say, anytime that the word loses authority in your life, something takes place. You see, something else would take the throne. The throne should be the word of God. But when the word loses authority, something would take that throne, and something will sit on that throne and dictate your life and dictate the very essence of your purpose in life. Please stay with me. Listen, there are times where when the word loses authority, feelings start deciding the truth. Feelings. They start what? Deciding the truth. Social media becomes your theology. Friends become counselors. Are you understanding me? And now culture becomes your Lord. Somebody's authority of the word. See, look at somebody. Tell the person, when the word loses authority in your life, emotions start writing doctrines. Say emotions, they start writing doctrine. Say social media becomes your prophet. Say culture becomes your counselor. Say friends become your standard. How should friends become your standard in life? Hey, hallelujah. Why should my friend become the why should Michael, why should you become the standard in my life whilst the word of God is there? You see, that is why we do things, we put ourselves in situations we are not supposed to put ourselves in. And when these things are happening, you need to understand that the authority of the word might have been lost in your life, or you are gradually what, losing it. So when the word loses authority, anytime the word, let me now make it a bit, you know, let me bring it down. When the word loses authority, dating by attraction instead of by scripture. Are you understanding me? As you go deeper. Okay. Hallelujah. Dating by attraction instead of what? Scripture. So sometimes you are reading the word and you can see God speaking to you about even your relationship. You can see yourself in the mirror, as the scripture says. You can see yourself in the word, the Lord speaking to you. But then because of Ezegeze. Someone say Ezegeze. Today I'm teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, ubeti ahonfe bi etie wo ebu ahonfe bi bekum gidi onwa ha ahonfe bi beden ebekum. Are you understanding me? Attraction. And you see, it's very, very critical, because when I lose the authority, not only the issue about attraction, but there are times where we don't even choose career through prayer because we have lost the authority of the word. Are you understanding me? Some of you make important decisions at breakfast table. We make decisions. The tea will get you confused. Hallelujah. I know a gentleman that said he's going to meet some client and all that. He prays, Lord, as I go into the meeting, Lord, as I sit on the table, as we have the discussion, there's something that my boss, that every time we go and do presentation and all that, I see he goes somewhere, and then he'll go and pray, and I see that consistently in his life. Are you understanding me? Some of you, the major decisions on your life, what koko huna won nom now say, okay, Timayani say, Timayani say, what if you who did now say, okay. What the akule? No, we are fasting next week, so let me just reduce. Other than that, it will sensitize some people's appetite. May your appetite bend this week. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. When the word loses authority, or when the word loses authority in your life, living together before marriage, because everyone is doing it. That's what we call cohabitation. I am not married, but I'm living with you. I am sexing you. I am midwifing you. I am. Someone say, yeah. Say, I'm returning to the authority of the word. And you could tell that. See, when you are going through those things, you need to understand you are losing the authority of the word in your life. It is gradually going, and it comes to a time that you don't even feel convicted again. It's normal. Are you understanding me? It's normal. And the day it becomes the normality of your life, then you know you are in trouble. You have entered into a state of disbelief. Are you understanding me? He's not even believe in the Lord again. When you lose the authority of the word in your life, ignoring convictions because it is convenient. And most of us, we go through that thing. When the word becomes optional, confusion becomes normal. Write it. When the word becomes optional, confusion becomes normal. Hallelujah. Media, my time is not up. Hallelujah. It's not up. Share. confusion becomes what? Normal. And you know that confusion is expensive, right? It's very what? Expensive. Let's read Hosea 4:6. Okay, maybe there's no time. Let me read. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed by what? By lack of what? By lack of what? By lack of what? Lack of what? Knowledge. Praise the Lord. It is strange when you know, why you worry with akotna be manche. You are not married though. Akotna be manche. Almost can up or mom. Or no down or pay you yen na ju. So be sana kachi and say ay 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 ay. Your friend also were holidays. Kasia said, be on holidays. Say, be on holidays. God have mercy. Hallelujah. Can you imagine when you are not convicted? Even when you are staying with that person who you are not married, and your pastor called, you can speak with boldness. Hallelujah. People who have gone beyond being convicted, they can post spirituality you never know. They will see you. Yes. How are you? By the grace of God. Maria Skapaya Obua. They can post spirituality without the lens of the word. You cannot detect. Are you understanding me? Christopher, we are number one as people. Hallelujah. That's why God cannot do certain things in our life. Praise the Lord. Someone say mercy. Say mercy. You see, the word of God, it built something in our life that storms cannot destroy. Somebody say storms cannot destroy. And I spoke that last week, Matthew 7, 24, 27. Let's read it quickly, please. In concert, quickly, please. Hey, I said let's read, so I save small water and everybody is quiet. Let's read it in concert, please. On a rock, We are reading to 27. And the rain, Hallelujah. Look at somebody, please, respectfully. Okay. Some of you might have, you know, so when I say certain things, we'll come and eat him. Please don't do that. Tell the person, if you build on a sand, you are being foolish. I know some of you intentionally, when we say something after me, you target some people. Sometimes they are not even sitting by you. They are sitting in front of you. Tap them. In reverence voice, yes, in reverence voice. Hallelujah. You see, both builders, they heard the word, only one obeyed it. Somebody's only one. So hearing does not build anything. Obedience, it builds what? Everything. Are you understanding me? And the word does not make life easy. The word of God, it makes our life what? Stable. So storms do not ask of your age when they come. They don't ask of your bank account. They don't ask of your account. Let me say, they don't ask of your account balance. They don't respect your degree. Are you understanding me? Storms, they come for everybody, everyone. And the difference is not who avoids the storm. The difference is who survives the storm. This year, may you survive the storm. May you survive the storm. I prophesy to 5 people here. May you survive the storm. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please have your seat. Listen. The young, sometimes they see things differently. Or the young adult, they see things differently. But you see, the truth is that some of you were, the storms you have faced, they look like heartbreak. Heartbreak. Hallelujah. Heartbreak. Some of you, it looks like job loss. Some of you, it's like mental pressure. Mental pressure. You've not been through some pain before, eh? Sometimes you don't want to talk to anybody, not even your pastor. So when you see me calling, what does he want? Hallelujah. You begin to change how you save my name on your phone. Stop disturbing me. Stop. Some of you, you save some people on your phone. Stop disturbing me. Hallelujah. Can I have a witness here? Mechanic 1, mechanic 2. ATM 4, ATM 5. So those are the ones that produce money. Hallelujah. You call somebody ATM 4. So it means you have ATM 1, ATM 2, ATM. Someone say, yeah, yeah. Shake somebody's hand and say, yeah. God have mercy. Hallelujah. So storms, they come for everyone. And some storms, they are anxiety. Some storms, they are disappointment. And some storms, they are identity crisis. Some of you have identity crisis. You are in identity crisis. You have identity problem. Today you are this. Tomorrow you are this. Yesterday you are this. Every day you are that. We don't know which color you are. Is that a chameleon? Huh? Chameleon or Danny Danny? No. She'll be in the chair and say, "This year, man, Danny Danny, man, Danny Danny." Praise the Lord. And some storms, they come what? They come like that. So the word or the authority of the word, it does not prevent the storm. It prepares you to stand firm when the storm comes. Are you understanding me? Somebody say, I will stand firm. Because the truth is that men of God, stay with me. Are you here? The truth is that obedience builds emotional stability. Are you understanding me? Obedience, it builds what? Emotional stability. And obedience builds what? Mental what? Strength. Obedience builds spiritual what? Endurance. And what am I saying? I'm saying that when you obey the word, these things, it follows. When you what? Obey what? The word. Let's look at Isaiah 43 verse 2 quickly. Isaiah 43 verse 2. Okay, let me read it. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Let's read it. It says what? When you pass through the waters, may it be your story this year. I said, may it be your story this year. And what? And through what? The rivers, it shall not what? Overflow you. When you walk through, it didn't say when you run on, it says when you walk. Can you imagine fire is burning and you are walking? And some of you, you are bricks walking. Cat walking, eh? And imagine, say, the Lord say, when you, he didn't say when you run. It says when you walk. But you see, whilst you are slowly walking, because when you run, let me make it practical. Say, me shatadiana me jani wo jenima, enyeni yina nebeshi, ba me nanti anyame o sibibia. Every meeting coming and say, or CBBR. So some of us, we are walking in the fire, but it's not the end of our life. Can I preach like I feel? It's not the end of our life. I feel like walking, I am burning. I feel the heat of life. But the Lord says, you will pass through the waters. He said, you will walk through the fire, but you shall not be burned. It looks like I am burning, but the Lord said, I will not be burned. I will not be burned. Hallelujah. I will not be burned. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I will not be burned. Let me close with this. You see, church, the word or the authority of the word, it gives us direction. Are you understanding me? Somebody say direction. Let's read in concert. Psalm 119 verse 105. Yes. 119 verse 105. Quickly. 119 verse 105. He says what? Let's read in concert. Uh-huh. Your word. Uh-huh. And a light what? To my path. Now watch this. In ancient Israel, lamps only lit the few steps. It doesn't go beyond the steps. It lit what? The few. So the next step you take is where what? It lit. Are you understanding me? It's not your modern day light where it lit everywhere. It just lit what? Your next step. Are you understanding me? Some of you have not stayed in a village before. This Gen Z, Charlie. Hallelujah. You see, at first, we used to have some. It's not the lantern. There was this particular one. It does not bright too much. Are you understanding me? It bright just a little bit. And it's just showing you what? Your next step. So the Bible said, the word is a lamp to my... It didn't say to my path. It says what? To my what? To my feet. So the word is not Google map. It's a lamp. Are you understanding me? It's a lamp. So it will show your... It will not show your whole life, but it will show what? The next what? The next step. It will not show you 10 years of your life. It shows you what? The next step. Are you understanding me? So sometimes, you know, we get to a place where we say, should I take this job? Should I take... How many of you have been there before? Should I take this job? Should I take this job? Or should I leave this relationship? You know, should I leave the relationship? Should I stay in Accra? Or I should move to Kumasi? Or move to Bologa? Or move to Navrongo? I know some of you are waiting for me to say the next one. What? Move to where? United States of America. Trump is waiting for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And some of you sometimes ask, should I go back to school? Should I do my master's? Should I do my PhD? The word will not give you a 10-year plan, but the word will give you today's obedience. It gives you what? Today's what? Obedience. And today's obedience always leads to tomorrow's blessing. And that is why Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your... Put it there for me. Let's read in the concert. Uh-huh. In all what? And he shall what? Direct what? Your path. Are you understanding me? Next one. The authority of the word is what God seeks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the authority of the word in your heart. Let me put it. The authority of the word in your heart is what God seeks. The heart is what God seeks. Isaiah 66 verse 2. Isaiah 66 verse 2. The heart. Somebody say the heart. Say God seeks the heart. Say God seeks the heart. Let's read in concert quickly, please. In concert. Uh-huh. So I look to the one... Protocol, please help us. Okay. I look to the one who trembles by the word. Are you understanding me? I look to the one who did what? Stay with me. Who trembles what? By what? The word. Or at what? My word. Somebody say at my word. Say at my word. So you see, city of his presence, God is not impressed by your noise. He's not impressed by your noise. Hallelujah. He's not impressed about Asael's noise. Praise the Lord. He made noise at exactly the point I was supposed to talk about noise. Praise the Lord. He's moved by your obedience, not by your noise. Are you understanding me? He's moved by what? Your obedience. Asael, get up, stop crying and go. He's moved by what? Your obedience, not your noise. Are you understanding? Somebody's obedience. So you can attend church and ignore his voice. And some of us are like that. We attend church, but we ignore what the voice of God. We serve the Lord in his house, but we are very stubborn. Not very, we are still. Hallelujah. We serve the Lord, but we are one. We are still one. Stubborn. We can sing and still be disobedient. We lead praises, we lead worship, we minister, but we are still disobedient. Are you understanding me? What moves God is a heart that says, if you say it, I will do it. That is what moves God. If you say it, I will do it. Hallelujah. That heart is what God is looking for. That heart is the heart God wants to build with in 2026. It's the heart that God can trust. It's the heart that God can promote, and God will promote. I said God will what? Will promote. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22. He says, to obey is better than what? To obey is better than what? Please be upstanding.
Beloved, I believe you have been blessed by that powerful message from Reverend Sydney Olumensa. Please share this podcast with your friends, families, and loved ones. God bless you for doing so. Shalom.